us while we go.
Right, good Chodesh.
Good
Chodesh.
Well, up to my son, he became 28 today.
Oh, Mazel Tov. Wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. Okay. Let's do it.
Koyach.
Koyach.
28. Well, it's a very spiritual time. That's something wonderful. And here we are, Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. And of course, Rosh Chodesh Tammuz leads to Shiva Osa B'Tammuz in the 3 weeks. So that is a sad dimension of the month. There also, in Lubavitch history, the Yud Beis Tammuz is always a special day that when the Friedrich Rebbe was released. He had been arrested by the Soviets because of his tremendous work of spreading Yiddishkeit, of keeping Yiddishkeit alive, struggling to keep Yiddishkeit alive over the USSR, when all other Rabbonim basically took the chance to escape from Russia, to be able to continue to teaching Torah, but he remained, and the entire responsibility of keeping Yiddishkeit alive in Russia was on him, and he was arrested, and he saw on a folder that was there that they were condemning him to death. But Baruch Hashem, there was international protests and a Nes Golui that he eventually was released. In fact, on the 3rd of Tammuz, they said that instead of him...
We had in the Mishpacha this in the early years. Are there nothing about why he went to university to study engineering?
Wait.
Captain, this.
Just a minute.
Why did he go to college? Why did he go to college?
Excuse me. And we're talking about the Friedrich Rebbe this second, Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak. Yeah. So
the only one from England.
So the Friedrich Rebbe, he was on Gimel Tammuz, which is tomorrow night. That was a special day that he was, instead of being put in prison, he was sent into exile to Kastroma. And then on Yud Beis Tammuz, he was freed in Gunson. But also, Gimel Tammuz, as was mentioned, is the yahrzeit of his son-in-law and successor, also a neched of the Alter Rebbe, our Rebbe, and the Lubavitch Rebbe, and in Tovshin Nun Daled was his yahrzeit. So we're going to try to understand this. We're going to focus on the Parshas HaShavua in order to understand this whole concept. Now, we got two things in the Parshas HaShavua that I want to address. First of all, there's Mises Tzadikim. Here we've got Moshe, Aaron, Miriam, right from the beginning of Shemois. And here in this Parsha, Miriam and Aaron pass away. So we have the concept of Mises Tzadikim, and the way in which the Anunei HaKavod, they are by the Tzchus of Aaron, and the Be'er is by the Tzchus of Miriam. So the fact that Tzadikim have an effect in the world, and that there are issues which they are able to maintain or achieve in their lifetime, and also the question is also after their lifetime as well. So we're going to, in order to understand this, we're going to go to the very beginning of the Parsha. Now, the beginning of the Parsha, Zois Chokas HaTorah. This is the statute of the Torah, and we know the concept, very famous concept in Chazal, that the mitzvahs are divided into three groups. They're mishpatim. Mishpatim are mitzvahs of Hashem, but they are something which completely can be understood in Seichel. And you would say that even if Hashem didn't give that mitzvah, still Seichel would mechayev it. That Seichel would say, yes, this is the way you're supposed to behave. The people talk about the social contract. You know, what is a social contract? You have a group of people living together, they agree. Look, you have this, this sack of corn, and I have this sack of corn. I won't steal your sack, and you don't steal my sack, and that way we'll get on well. So, not to steal. Okay, so there are various laws which are generated in society, and even without Torah, the Gemara speaks about where we would learn certain things if we didn't have Torah. But loisigno, if we would learn from ants, they're all very careful. When you watch ants, the way in which they carry their, each one is carrying their thing, and no other ant can come up and take its bit away. So that's mishpatim. Then we have adiyus. Now adiyus are things like Chag HaPesach. So Chag HaPesach celebrates our going out of Mitzrayim. It's an eidus about that, an important part of our history. And we wouldn't have thought particularly that we're going to have dadat kosos, we're going to have eating matzah, we're going to have mora. But once those mitzvahs are there, we can understand them. It all makes sense in the context that we're celebrating going out of Mitzrayim and the whole significance of what going out of Mitzrayim is. So that's the second kind of mitzvah. The third kind of mitzvah doesn't fit into seichel at all. The third kind of mitzvah is the choik. And the choik is the choik like parah aduma, milk and meat. There's a way of understanding this, that parah aduma is in a certain sense, it's even more of a choik than the other chukim. But in general, when we're talking about mitzvahs like kashrus and so on, we understand these are chukim. They're chukim, they don't fit into seichel. Let's just look at this from a more spiritual point of view. When we keep a mitzvah, the very word mitzvah, and I'm going to come to this point later on as well, hopefully, Merit Hashem, the word mitzvah is generally translated as command. Tzivva, yeah, that's the root. You look it up in the Hebrew dictionary. Tzivva, he commanded. Mitzvah is the noun that comes from that root. It's a command. But there is an Aramaic word, tzavta. Tzavta v'chibo, which means connection. It's used in Ivrit. Modern Ivrit, a crew of a tank is hatzevet, the crew. And the tzevet is called that because they're bonded together. That's right, they're together. Yeah. So that is what a mitzvah is. A mitzvah unites us with Hashem. Now, if we look at the rotzon, the infinite rotzon of Hashem, right? The Kabbalah Chassidus speaks about levels going higher and higher. There are middos of Hashem. There's the chesed, the rachamim of Hashem. We go higher and higher. We come to rotzon. Now, what happens if we're talking about a mitzvah like don't steal? Murder. There we have the rotzon is mitzamtzem, it contracts itself into human seichel. So the rotzon, the will of Hashem, has contracted itself into human seichel.
There's a difference in that way. Loisetzach is a commandment which is, brings us nearer, but by not doing something.
Yeah.
Where by Pesach, we just before said, we do deeds which bring us together, which are mitzvahs, commandments, like Moraduma, which bring us together, without any seichel, which is a commandment, bring us together. So there is a difference between the mitzvahs as well, isn't there?
Amazing. Yes. In Chassidus, they're the most wonderful biurim about the difference in a mitzvah saseh and a mitzvah loisaseh, and the way the mitzvah...
Look,
at this point, I'm just looking at the question about how we understand them.
Yeah.
Whether or not we understand them. So the mitzvahs that we feel we understand, they are that the rotzon of the Eibishter is mitzamtzem, contract itself into our seichel. Into our seichel. Our seichel is very good for granites. It's very limited. It's like a little box. But nonetheless, the will of Hashem contracts itself with the chesed of Hashem, contracts itself into this little box. And then we have Eduyus, which you could say it's a little bit less contracted, but it's still there in Seichel, we can understand it. The Chukim, the Rotzen, is not contracted at all. It's just pure. That's the Rotzen of Hashem. Zois Chukas HaTorah, Parah Adumah, milk and meat. That is simply Rotzen Hashem. Azoy is it. You walk into a Yiddish kitchen, there it is. Here's the milk sink, here's the meat sink. Why? Someone said, why? That is what the Torah says. Don't mix milk and meat, and as a result, this cupboard has meaty geshir, and this has got milky geshir, and so on. That's the rotzon of Hashem, the will of Hashem. Okay, you can write a whole article explaining all the moral issues and spiritual issues that come out of it, but basically it's the will of Hashem. Now we then have a very interesting Hasidic concept. That even the mitzvahs, which are mitzvahs we think we understand, also have to be done with the same Kabbalah soul as if we didn't understand them at all. Now we live in a time and in a place where the significance of this suddenly becomes a lot more apparent, that rules which used to be thought were an obvious part of society and every civilized society understood them, suddenly these rules are all being broken and dissipated in the most terrible way. And we realize that the idea that a rule is there, if it's a thing which is in the Torah, it may seem very normal and natural that there should be such a law, but really we have to keep that law with Kabbalah soul. We have to have a sense of dedication to Hashem. Hashem has given that command, whether or not we understand it. We think we understand it, good. But there may come a time that people will say, oh, you know, you don't have to do it this way, you can do it that way, and the whole basis of civilization is being dissolved under our feet. Now, so this is what we learn from the beginning of the Torah about Zeis Chukos HaTorah, that the beginning of the Sedra, about keeping mitzvahs, that there is a sense in which we have to have a bond to Hashem beyond Seichel. Now, let's move to the mechanism whereby we keep mitzvahs. Now, the way, basically, if you look in the Gemara, the way the Gemara presents it is Hashem gives us the mitzvahs. Those are the rules we have to keep. And we have either a Yetzer Tov or Yetzer Hara, which prompts us in various ways. In Tanya Kadisha, written by the Alter Rebbe, we have a very interesting idea. Instead of using the word Yetzer Tov, it's Nefesh Elokis, the divine soul. The Nefesh Elokis is a basic propensity, it's a basic quality in every Jew that he or she wants to keep mitzvahs. It's a bond that we have with Hashem, it's a Chelek Elokai Mimal Mamash. It is a portion of Hashem from above which is inside each person. And that is a very, very powerful concept. The only problem is, so why doesn't every Yid keep mitzvahs? That's also the special Jewish quality. It's a Yid who has to put on tefillin. If a non-Jew puts on tefillin, nothing is happening. But if a Yid puts on tefillin, then there is a connection being made. Now, why? Because
I've seen a suggestion that if a goy does a mitzvah, he's still a bechina of eina mitzvah of the oiser.
Some mitzvahs.
Yeah, you've seen that, yeah.
Well,
some. He can actually achieve something by doing mitzvah, he doesn't have to.
Well, yeah, but that's some mitzvahs. I don't think that would apply.
You're completely wrong, you are.
Yes.
I've seen that.
It says, Goy Shishama
Shabbos Chayv Misa.
Yeah, so each mitzvah has its own.
But it's not so certain that a Goy who keeps the mitzvah doesn't.
But there's seven mitzvahs, they know, which is quite a wide range. All right.
I'll just leave it there.
Okay.
You better leave it there because you're going to have to do with it.
We have limited time.
Yeah, we have limited time.
Now, so why doesn't every single Yid keep all the mitzvahs within reach?
He wants to.
Yeah. He's got this Nefesh Elokis inside him, and which is longing, yearning to keep every single mitzvah.
That's enough.
So the Alter Rebbe explains that there's also Nefesh HaBahamis. There's an animal soul.
Yeah.
And the animal soul covers over the divine soul, and as a result of it covering over the divine soul, for many of us, the animal soul wins, and there's even a concept of a Fruma Yetzahara, and there's even a concept of a Chassidisha Yetzahara. So there are different kinds of Yetzahara which suppress the Nefesh HaLikis and do not allow it to make the connection with Hashem that it should be making. That relates very closely to our Pasha, because the Alter Rebbe speaks about Zoyz Chukas HaTorah. Now the word chukah is like the word chakika, engraving, eingekritzt. Now when we got the Aseres HaDibros, they were engraved in stone. Now this engraving, or in Safa, the engraving is like the engraving in our neshama, that in our very being, the essence of our being, the Torah is engraved. And the Torah is engraved, that means it's part of us. It's not like letters which are written on parchment, which is very beautiful, the beautiful Torah scroll. But those letters can be rubbed off. The letters of the Sefer Torah can be rubbed off, and if there's when they're doing Kriyas HaTorah, they notice that there's some problem. So the next day, a sofer comes, scrapes it with his knife, and he scrapes off the letter completely, and he can put in the letter. Of course, that you can do that in the Sefer Torah, not in Tefillin, because it has to be Kassidra. Right. But engraved letters can't be rubbed off. Engraved letters are there all the time. The only thing is, dust might come and fill in the engraved letters, so you don't see the letters and they don't have their force in the person. So we see the way this concept of Zoyz Chukas HaTorah and the idea of Chakika, that really is illustrating the effect of the divine soul in the person, the Nefesh HaLikis, which is often suppressed. But even however much it's suppressed, it's always there and it can always express itself. Now, how are we going to? Now let's have a question. How are we going to? What's the best way for us to be able to, first of all, have the kind of bond with Hashem through the mitzvahs on the most intense level? That even doing a simple mitzvah, we feel with it the bond to the Ratzon Hashem on the highest level, that we should feel every mitzvah like a choik in the most tremendous, powerful way. And secondly, if the engraving is filled in with dust, how are we going to clear that dust away?
It's still engraved.
It's still engraved, but if it's covered with dust, then it's not having an effect. We can't read the letters. The letters don't shine in our mind.
I'm trying to say that the Zoyz Chukas HaTorah, the first pasuk, comes before the Bar Din for Parah Aduma. It's got to do with every mitzvah.
Yes.
Is that what you started off with?
Yes.
That must be what you started off with.
Yeah.
Zoyz Chukas HaTorah is a command, but in itself.
It's a concept in itself. Yeah, it's a concept in itself. Now, here we come to Tzaddikim. The whole idea of Roshei Alfei Yisrael, the whole idea of leaders of the Jewish people through the generations. Now in Tanya Perek Beis, it explains to us what is the nature of this kind of person. So Tanya is about a tzaddik, a Roshei, a Beinoni, but a leader of the Jewish people, Roshei Alfei Yisrael, is in a different category. It's not a question of how you measure them, is it? A tzaddik, this, that. It's something on a higher level. What's called a neshama klolis, a general neshama. Now, Tanya Perek Beis explains that all the neshamas of the entire Am Yisrael, everyone alive today, everyone who ever did live, everyone who ever will be born, we are all united together. We're united together in particularly because of the Torah, because every single neshama is connected by the Torah to Hashem, and it's got a spark of Hashem in it. Even if that person didn't keep Torah, someone might, Rahman al-Islam, might be born in an environment where there was no Torah observance, and they lived 120 years, they passed away, and there still wasn't any Torah observance, Rahman al-Islam. But they could have kept Torah. They could have put on tefillin. They could have kept kashrut. And they should have done. The mitzvah applied to them. That gives them a chelik. They are a part of, that's the idea. Kol Yisrael Yeshem chelik l'olam haba. Whatever they have to go through in order to get to that chelik of olam haba, but eventually they will have that chelik.
Because
the neshama goes through all kinds of different things. The neshama. They'll come back in the world. They'll come back in the world with Gilgul, and there they will be a cheder yingul. They'll become a rosh yeshiva. Yeah, the neshama comes down again. Yeah, but the neshama comes back again. Yeah, the neshama comes back. Eventually. Right. Yeah. Everything. Call Yisrael. There's a beautiful essay. The Rebbe wrote a beautiful essay about this before he was Rebbe, in the lifetime of the Friedrich Rebbe. He gave a talk about Call Yisrael, and someone wrote a letter to him. Say, how can you say that? Because it was in America. It was a Siyam Mishnayis. Was a Siyam that? No, I don't think so. But he wrote that. I'll tell you. He gave it to. This is what it seems to be. He gave a talk at a Siyam Mishnayis, something like 1943, in Brooklyn. They had a thing called Machne Yisrael that he was in charge of. When he came to New York, Baruch Hashem, Kof Ches Sivan. In 1941, he and his wife had managed with going through the most difficult thing, but with Nissim Mamash, they managed to, but it was extremely difficult. And they managed to come to New York from
France.
They had been in France, So he was put in charge of three organizations. One is Kohos, the publishing company of Lubavitch, and the other is Merkoz Le'Inyonei Chinuch, which is the, like now, all the shluchim, all the world round, are under Merkoz Le'Inyonei Chinuch. It's the center for Chinuch, and they were, at that point, they were producing little booklets on mitzvahs, like tzitzis and tefillin, and they were going out. There were Jews who were farmers in America. Jews had become farmers. The government had given all kinds of concessions. If people wanted to farm land, quite a lot of Jewish people took that opportunity. There's some novels and books, autobiographies written by people. Yeah. And the Friedrich Lubavitcher Rebbe and the Rebbe now running this Merkoz Le'Inyonei Chinuch, they tried to reach out to those people, as well as to children in schools, in the public high schools in New York, all kinds of things. So he was put in charge of that. And also he had another organization, Machne Yisrael. Machne Yisrael was concerned about learning and a spiritual dimension, people learning Mishnayos Baal Peh, saying Mishnayos when they're walking in the street, purifying the air, making the world ready for Mashiach.
Summer camps,
I don't think that was under Machne Yisrael specifically. Gan Yisrael
was
a spiritual kind of education. So, there was a Siyam, and the Siyam was, and the Rebbe spoke at the Siyam about Kol Yisrael Yeshem Chelek Lolam Haba, and someone wrote a letter of complaint. The very next words in the Mishnah is Ve'elu She'elem Chelek Lolam Haba. Right? You look in the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, it says Kol Yisrael Yeshem Chelek Lolam Haba Ve'elu She'elem, and if you look at that list, it's a pretty broad list. Pretty broad list who haven't got, it would seem. So the Rebbe wrote, there was then a journal that used to come out called Kovetz Lubavitch. He wrote two long articles, like in two successive issues of the journal, which you can get now, it's published, it's printed, and in Tshuvas HaBiurim, there's a sefer called Tshuvas HaBiurim, and there's a long explanation that the neshama comes back into the world, goes through all kinds of different things, and eventually comes to Olam Haba, defining Olam Haba. It's a machlokes. It's a machlokes between the Rambam and the Ravid, exactly what is meant by Olam Haba. But the ultimate Olam Haba is Trias HaMesim, and every Jew eventually will have it.
Gilgul.
Yeah. So Gilgul is part of the process whereby the neshama has a tikkun, that what it didn't do in one life, it manages to do in the other.
Yeah, but guilt can often happen even if a person has got a chayil on them aboard, just to rectify a particular thing.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Right. Okay. Now, so the point is that every neshama is significant.
Yes.
And we are all connected together, and connected together to Hashem. Now, what the Alter Rebbe explains in Perek Beis Tanya, which I recommend to everyone to learn, is that all the neshamas of the Yidden together are what we would call an anthropomorphic form. In other words, it's a tzio koima. It is a tzio koima in the image of a human being with a head and with other limbs and with feet. So that means there are Roshei Alfei Yisrael who are like the head. And then there are lower and lower parts till we get to the Ikra. That's right. The lowest part, the heels, the feet. Right. So that means that our connection to our inner self, really, is through the Rosh Alfi Yisrael. Our neshama is part of this whole tzir. But let's take my hand. So my hand is over here. Now, how does my hand know what it's supposed to do? It's going to the brain. The brain is the guide for the hand. If the hand, chas v'shalom, hasn't got a connection to the brain, the hand doesn't work in a proper way. So we all need this connection with Rosh Alfi Yisrael in order to be who we are as Yidden. We're not individual, isolated pratim, like organisms which have no connection with each other. We are one unity, and our unity is through the great tzaddikim. And it explains there, even people who reject the tzaddikim, the rabbonim, they reject them, and they live, they are pyrico. Nonetheless, their spiritual chayas is coming to them through the tzaddikim, through every yid in the Eretz Yisrael, in the Midbar, let's say, with Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is the crucial contact for that person with Hashem, even if he was arguing against Moshe Rabbeinu, like Korach in yesterday's parsha. So now we come to the Lubavitcher Rebbe, who passed away Toshin Nun Dalet and Gimel Tammuz. And there are three aspects you could say about the Rebbe. One aspect about the Rebbe is stories about him, like as we generally have Sipuri Maisers, Sipuri Tzadikim. That's like the Rebbe as a person in himself. Another aspect of the Rebbe are the moistois, the institutions, the organizations that he set up. The one that is most people are aware of are the shluchim, the Chabad houses around the world, that if a person has a need, he has to go to Hong Kong or Beijing or wherever it is, for business, for this, for that. There's Baruch Hashem, there is Chabad House.
It gets to parts others don't get to.
That's
true.
That's
no, it's a different way of life.
It's a very valuable satna. Even satna is...
We discussed this before, we don't live enough. It's a different way of life on the connection of one Jew to the other. The Babich has a different way of connecting one Jew to the other. That's whether a religious one or not a religious one.
Very valuable.
The thing is seeing that
as we explained to the beginning, the Jew is one unit. Yeah. Yeah. And everybody when they're at home are not from a town. Have the connection. No!
Yeah.
It's
yeah. Very important to understand. Yeah. But the trouble is... Yeah, now. So therefore... Now.
Stupid interruptions.
What stupid?
Now, but the third dimension is Torah. And the Torahs of the Rebbe, the Ma'amorim, the Sichas, and the Igros Kodesh, Each letter by the Rebbe also is a piece of Torah in the most amazing way. It's just amazing. Now, what I would like to speak about a little bit, one nekuda, is the way the Rebbe would say Torah, the Alter Rebbe, Rabbi Shneur Zalman, he wrote Tanya, and he wrote the Shulchan Aruch. But his many, many mamorim, which were collected in by his grandson, the Tzemach Tzedek, they were collected in Torah Or and the Kutei Torah. The name had to be changed because the government, due to the Maskinim, unfortunately, had rules against Hasidim publishing any publications. So when they published Torah Or in 1837, the printers were arrested and suffered terribly. And they, because they published these Hasidic Sforim, there was a Mesira from the Maskilim. And so they had to publish the second volume 10 years later in a different town with a different name called Likutei Torah. But Torah Or and Likutei Torah contained selected drushim of Rabbi Shneur Zalman, the Alter Rebbe.
Did they understand it?
They had people they had Maskilim who knew Hebrew and would say this Hasidic book. Anyway, very big problem. So those mamorim, those drushim by the Alter Rebbe, by Rabbi Shneur Zalman, he didn't write down. He said it on Shabbos or any other occasion, and he had choizrim who had the focus of mind that they could listen to what he was saying and remember it Baal Peh. Now, his leading choizrim were his son, Rabbi Dov Ber, became the Mittler Rebbe. His grandson, Rabbi Nachum Mendel, became the Tzemach Tzedek. And his brother, the Maharil, Rabbi Yehuda Leib. Those were the three main choizrim. Now, when we go down the generations, the other Rebbeim also had choizrim, some of them, especially the Rebbe Rashab. But
was the Mittler Rebbe's son-in-law?
The Tzemach Tzedek was the son-in-law of the Mittler Rebbe.
Ah.
He was the grandson of Rabbi Shneur Zalman, and he was the son-in-law so it's like a line. Yeah. But then we come down through the generations. Now, our Rebbe, he had choizrim. So the choizrim were remarkable. Baruch Hashem, the chief choizrim is Rabbi Yoel Kanz, Holger Zunstein. Wonderful, wonderful figure. So he.
Who were the others?
There's Simon Jacobson. It was a whole group. Rabbi Lu, when he was a Bacha, he was a Chayzen.
How many Chayzen were there now, up to the recent years? Up to Rundalad, how many
Chayzen
were there?
I had the schus to see sometimes the group of Chayzen sitting together, like after Yomtev, Moitzi Yomtev, they would sit a group in 770. It was like 20.
20.
You know, yes, and they would go through the Verbrecher, Sicha by Sicha, and the Maimah, you know, they're amazing, amazing. They had this tremendous power of Zikaron and of focus, and in a very amazing way. And so they would then write a transcript of what the Rebbe had said, whether Sichas or Maimah. And then there was a committee which would put together the sicha or the maima and prepare it for printing, and then they would give it into the Rebbe for him add final editing and footnotes and different things, take things out, put things in. And in that way, so that was the mugadig maima. Now, the last mugadig maima, which came out, it wasn't in Nun Dalet, it was in Nun Beis, because in Oder Rishon Nun Beis, the Rebbe had a stroke. And so, unfortunately, that became the end of any teachings from him. So for 2 years, the Rebbe had a contact with the Hasidim, but he wasn't able to teach, and that was a very upsetting thing. But the last maimer that he was magia before the stroke was a maimer called Va'ata Tetzaveh. It's about Purim Cotton, and it's on the Sedra Va'ata Tetzaveh. And that mimer is going to be learned around the world on Monday night and Tuesday by Hasidim. Now, what is Va'ata Tetzaveh about? It starts off with the following question. What does it mean, Va'ata Tetzaveh, you, Moshe Rabbeinu, should command the Jewish people something? It's about taking Shem and Zayas for the Ma'or, for the Menorah, for Aaron. Moshe isn't commanding the Jewish people. Moshe is a shliach who transmits the commands of the Eibishter. So what does it actually mean, Va'ata Tetzaveh? It means something else. You connect, like we had the word before, Tzavta V'chibur. You connect. The role of Moshe Rabbeinu is to connect the Jewish people to Hashem and the Jewish people to each other. By a remarkable Hashkocha Protis, this last maimer that the Rebbe was Magia is about what is the role of a Rebbe. It's about Moshe Rabbeinu in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu and the Moshe Rabbeinu in every generation through the generations. And Moshe Rabbeinu is described as Raya Mehemna. Now Raya Mehemna, which is a chelik of the Zohar Kodesh, which is by Moshe Rabbeinu, collected by Rashbi, but it's originally by Moshe Rabbeinu. So it's called the Raya Mehemna. There are two ways of explaining Raya Mehemna. You can say Raya Mehemna means he's a faithful shepherd. Moshe Rabbeinu is a faithful shepherd, a reliable shepherd. Or he pastures emuna. A Raya Mehemna feeds emuna to people. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu does. He feeds us with emuna. Now, why do we need to be fed emuna? Surely Yisrael are ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim. We don't have to be fed emuna. And then and he explains. Now there's an interesting passage which is in the Ein Yaakov version of the Gemara. I think it's in Brochas. See when Rabbi Yaakov Ibn Chabib, who composed the Ein Yaakov, he had texts of Gemara that didn't necessarily become the popular text, the Vilna text that we use today. So it says, "Ganva apum machtato rachmona karya." A thief who's about to break in, it's a frum thief. The thief doesn't have to be an intellectual apikoros. He believes in Hashem. So he asks Hashem to help him steal. What's going on? He believes in Hashem, but he's forgetting that Hashem says, don't steal. So what's happening? He's got emunah, but it's a superficial emunah. His emunah is that Hashem will help me, and I need Hashem's help. But it's a kind of emunah. But it doesn't come down to maaseh. It doesn't affect the way in which he behaves. He's still a thief. He's still a ganav. So the koyach of Moshe Rabbeinu through the generations is to draw the emunah into a pnimius, that it shouldn't just be a makif role. Of a makif form of emunah, it should come down in a pnimius, it should really affect the person. So in that way, the person is connected to Hashem, not only in their emunah, but in their maisa as well, and in their dibur. And so that is the concept of the role of Moshe, activating this deepest level, like we have the maisa, it isn't brought in this maimer, but it's a dramatic maisa we all would know, Elio Anovi on Har Carmel. So he carried this whole mess, and everyone shouts out, Hashem Hu Elokim, people who had been serving Baal up to that moment. And they shout out, Hashem Hu Elokim, we said on Yom Kippur at Ne'ilah. It's such a powerful statement. So that's the way the Rosh Alpha Yisrael bring out our emunah. Now, we've reached really, so just very briefly, the point is that when Hashem created the world, it was created with Midas Hadin, as it says in the Midrash, and Rashi quotes it in the Chumash. And the Alter Rebbe quotes in Tanya, in Shai Yichu Be'emunah, Perik Hey, he saw that Midas Hadin wasn't enough to keep the world the way it's supposed to be. There has to be Midas Rachamim as well. So what's Midas Rachamim? That is Tzadikim and the oisos and moifsim sheba Torah. The miracles in the Torah, tzaddikim, just re'iyas ponov shel talmid chacham, just seeing a tzaddik has an inspiring an effect on a person, and let her go. Yes, that's true. But a person can see the pnimius. Well, it depends what kind of rosha, but if we're talking about Rishay Yisrael, the pnimius of the person shines through. You can see through to the pnimius, and that pnimius is so. Therefore, although Hashem created a world in which He's concealed, and as a result of that, there are all kinds of averas, and that's why the oisius hachakika are covered up. And people are not keeping Torah properly. That's what led to Golus and the fact that we're still in Golus. But then come the tzaddikim who arouse our neshamas and illuminate them. They bond us together with Hashem. They bond us together with each other. They bond us together with Torah, Yisrael, Oraisa, Bekut, Shebrichu, Kul Echad. You have the whole concept that the Yidden are one with each other, and we're one with Hashem, and we're one with the Torah, and that leads to Geula. And when Geula comes, Beis Hashem now, so the Rambam tells us that Shiva Osa B'Tammuz and the 3 weeks, and Tisha B'Av, Shiva Osa B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av will be festive days where we will rejoice in a wonderful way.